Hello everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon Bryant, and today we begin our entertainment article, Remembering Robin Williams. In the studio, I have Catherine and Amanda. Welcome, panelists.
Thanks, Brandon.
And we are on our three-day entertainment article. We have lots to talk about. Listeners, if you have your magazine, we are on page 26, and we will begin today talking about the life of Robin Williams and also some of the movies that he was in. And I just want to get kind of some thoughts from our panelists to start off. Catherine, I know that you're a big fan of Robin Williams. Is that correct?
That's right. I think when I was growing up, I watched many of his movies because, you know, he's known for his comedy. And so he's really very talented in all the kids' movies that he played in, like Aladdin and Mrs. Doubtfire. And so he was always someone that I enjoyed watching.
Okay. And Amanda, what is something that you kind of remember about Robin Williams?
I remember growing up and my parents watching Mork and Mindy. And so I came to love Mork and Mindy because they liked it. So it was something of a family thing that we watched together when I was young.
Yeah, and he started off doing a lot of comedy, right? But he not only did that, later on he did some drama as well, which is something that happens with some comedians. They transition from comedy to drama. But what I remember about Robin Williams is that he did that very, very well. He could play in many different kinds of roles, and I actually like him in his more dramatic roles. He had some very good movies, as we will talk about later on in this article. So he was able to do comedy very well, and he was able to really do a good job in drama as well. And so that is the person that we're remembering today. As we know, he passed away back in August of last year. So we are taking a look at him this month in Advance Magazine. And we're going to start off with our first reading on page 26.
Remembering Robin Williams. A look back at the talented actor and his movies. Robin Williams seized the day in every role. Shock came first on hearing the news that the master comic mind we know as Robin Williams was dead at 63 last August, apparently overwhelmed by the kind of despair that he lightened for so many of the rest of us. With a mind forever moving at warp speed, conjuring up humor unlike anything we had seen before, and will likely ever see again, Williams was a friend, the kind who made our world better. At his height, he electrified whatever entertainment he touched. Though TV brought his breakthrough, I still remember his remarkable alien invasion in Mork and Mindy. Film quickly became his main forum for talent. Eyes Twinkling with Mischief made it clear that whatever else was going on, he had your back. He could be anything you wanted. Williams' first big screen mark came in 1980 in the live-action Popeye, with Williams transforming himself with a pipe and outsized forearms.
Well, I love how this article starts out, and the title there, it says, Robin Williams seized the day in every role. What do we mean, Catherine, by seize the day?
Well, when you seize the day, you make the most of a certain situation. So what they're saying here is that in every role that Robin Williams took, he did the very, very best that he could. He put 100% effort into everything that he was given.
And we'll see more specific examples tomorrow of this idea of seizing the day. And then we begin our article with, of course, the shock that came in August when he passed away at the age of 63. And what other descriptions do we have here of Robin Williams there in the first paragraph?
Well, they call him the master comic mind, and he really was. People knew him. He came into the entertainment world through his ability to use comedy very well. And when we say a master of it, it means that he is one of the top people in that field. So he is one of the top comedians known.
Okay, and we know that he did pass away. What were some of the problems he was going through, Catherine?
Well, I believe that he was dealing with some sort of addictions with alcohol. And I know that he was also dealing with depression. You know, despite all of his comedy and his ability to laugh at everything, he did have some sadness behind all of that.
Right, so we see that he was overwhelmed by the kind of despair that he lightened for so many. So he was in a difficult time in his life, but we see that he often helped people who were in difficult situations. I was doing some research online, and I found where he was did a short video for a lady, I believe in New Zealand, actually, who had cancer, and just trying to cheer her up. And so he would do these things to try to help other people. At the same time, he had his own problems that were difficult to deal with. And so, you know, sometimes we do that as well. We have problems that we're going through. We're trying to help other people. We all have issues, and it's important to speak out about them and to get help with them and not to try and just take it all in yourself. So this is Robin Williams, and what has happened most recently is he passed away, of course, in August. So we continue on with a little bit more about who he was and the kind of roles he played in. And we start off the next paragraph with a mind forever moving at warp speed.
Yeah, warp speed is also in our specialized terms. It means moving at an extremely fast rate. Now, when I think of warp speed, I think of Star Trek, because that's what happened. The spaceship would go into warp speed. But it's become quite a coined term that we use in everyday life to mean something going very fast.
That's right, and this is describing Robin Williams. He was able to just conjure up humor very quickly, conjure up that humor very quickly. To conjure up something just means to create it. And, you know, if you go online and you watch some older clips of Robin Williams, you see him just jumping from one type of character to the other very quickly. It's very unusual. You don't always see this kind of thing in Hollywood, right?
That's right. And I think that that just really speaks of how talented he was. He could, you know, put on different personalities at a moment's notice. He, like Brandon said, he could be one character and then another in just a split second. And that is, like Amanda said, him moving at warp speed. He does it so fast, you barely have time to register the change.
And we see that Robin Williams was a great friend. As I mentioned before, he, you know, he liked to help people, and he was involved in charities and so forth. So he had a big heart. And it says, you know, here, the kind who made our world better because of that, because of his heart, because of his willingness to help people, right? It was a good example for us all. As we look at someone's life, of course, we can see things, you know, where they were struggling, as Robin Williams was struggling. But we also see the good in his life and the things that he was doing to help other people. And so this is really good when you're looking back at someone's life to draw that contrast. So at his height, what did he do?
Well, at his height means when he was the most popular. He electrified whatever entertainment he touched. Electrified just really means to bring it to life, to bring power to it. You know, we think of electricity as when you touch it, you you get a bit of a buzz with it, and so that's what happened when he was doing something. We felt like, wow.
That's really true. When you watch him, you know, electricity is a good word to describe or think about, good word to describe him. He electrified whatever he touched. And when you watch him, he's just full of energy, right? Mm-hmm. And very excited about what he was doing. And so we go on to see that though TV was kind of his breakthrough, that's not where he stayed, right?
That's right. Film quickly became his main forum for talent. So he started in TV, but later moved on into movies.
And we see the TV show that Amanda mentioned earlier, Mork and Mindy, which debuted in 1978 and went for, I believe, four seasons. And this made him very popular, right?
Right. He played an alien that fell to Earth in an egg-shaped spaceship, and he fell to Earth in the garden of a single lady and ended up, you know, kind of taking over her life, really, but trying to do, like, research as an alien on Earth. And just the funny, comedic, you know, situations that would happen because he had alien culture and coming to human culture.
This was a great role for Robin Williams with his type of humor. He fit this part very well. And so he started off there with Mork and Mindy, or at least that's the show that made him popular. And we learn more about his eyes twinkling with mischief, and this made it clear that whatever else was going on, he had your back. What does that mean if someone says they have your back?
Well, it just means that they support you or they're there for you. So we often use this phrase when we're talking about friends. You say you want to have your friends back or you want your friends to have your back. And it just means that no matter what happens, they'll help you solve your problems or talk to you when you need them, kind of be there for you.
And I like here that they talk about his eyes, because that's when you think of Robin Williams, you can, even now you can see his twinkling eyes, just very full of just excitement. And they use the word mischief here. And of course, mischief, you think of kind of a child being mischievous. They're not really causing any harm, but it just is a way to describe, you know, children or people that maybe there's something going on. There's some schemes, there's something going on that they're doing that may be a little troublesome. So he was, you know, a lot of fun to watch on the screen, basically, because he was all over the place and he made people laugh all the time, right? And so, you know, before we continue on here, I just want to ask our panelists to kind of pull out some other memories about Robin Williams, maybe a favorite role that you saw him in, and just let our listeners know more about him.
Well, I think that one of the roles that I remember him most was from Mrs. Doubtfire, and we'll talk about that movie later, but it was just one of the wildest movies that I had ever seen when I was young, and I was just, you know, amazed learning. Like, he plays an older woman, so I was amazed learning that this man could transform himself and play this crazy character who's actually a woman.
Yeah, he just did an amazing job at that. That's not easy, of course, to play in that role, but he did a fantastic job. And I think a lot of people remember that movie and love that movie. Amanda, a role that you loved Robin Williams in?
Well, one I can think of is just talking about him lightening up our load was he played in a movie called Patch Adams, which we don't mention here, but he played a doctor that wanted to bring help people be healthy through humor. And I think that really there were a lot of parallels to his real life in that movie.
That's a good point, yeah. And I like the movie Jack. He was in this movie where he aged at a very quick rate, faster than normal, and I believe he entered like fifth grade looking like he was 40 years old. And it was a more dramatic role, very different kind of movie, but I thought it just fit him very well, and he did a great job at it. A very interesting type of movie. But there are many more movies that we're going to talk about, considering Robin Williams, of course. But we see that his first big screen mark came in 1980, and what movie was that?
That was Popeye. And Popeye was originally a cartoon, but then they made it into a film, and it's about a sailor, and he's known for having huge forearms, and he's always smoking a pipe, and it's just all about his little stories that happen.
Yeah, it says live action. That means it's not an animated movie. There are real people there. So, as we know, that is a cartoon, but they made it into a live action movie. And then he transformed himself with a pipe and outsized forearms, Amanda.
Right, outsized meaning larger than usual. And I think that was one of the characteristics Catherine talked about, was that he had huge forearms because he was able to use his strength throughout the cartoon to overcome many things.
All right. Well, we've just begun, actually, talking about Robin Williams. Let's go on to our next reading for today and talk about his dramatic side.
Williams' dramatic side. but it was in flexing his cerebral side in 1982's The World According to Garp that Williams found his footing in film. This was no comic role. He surprised us. He could do drama. He could do more than tap that distinctive funny bone. In the years after, Williams continued to surprise, making a habit of leavening his comedies with drama. His Russian defector's last stand at Bloomingdale's, in Paul Mazursky's Moscow on the Hudson, is among his most endearing. His homeless dreamer in The Fisher King is among his sweetest and saddest. Williams' wisecracking wake-up call for soldiers in Good Morning Vietnam brought his first Oscar nomination in 1988. A decade and two more nominations later, for The Fisher King and Dead Poets Society, he won after two unknown writers, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, gave Williams the role of a lifetime.
Well, we talked about Robin Williams as a comedian, but he also had a dramatic side. And we begin talking about that in this next paragraph.
Kathy. That's right. It says it was in flexing his cerebral side and a movie called The World According to Garp that Williams found his footing in film. And in this sentence, I really like where it says flexing. Whenever you use the word flex, you're often talking about a muscle, and that's, you know, you flex your muscle kind of to show it off. So I think here they're saying that Robin Williams is kind of showing a different side of himself. He's already proved that he can do comedy, but now he's showing he can do something more deep, more dramatic.
That's right. We think of the mind here, right? And we see the word cerebral. And so he's kind of doing a different thing. And it's a different side of him. And when I look at this, you know, I look at other comedians and they attempt this and some do a good job at it. But I think it's very challenging to go as from a comedian to dramatic roles. And so for him to be able to do that well really says a lot about who he was as an actor. So he flexed his cerebral side in 1982's The World According to Garp. And what do we see here? He found his footing in film, right?
Right, and that's one of our vocabulary focus phrases. It means that you gain first position in a particular industry. And so here it was in film. So he was able to find his way, just be able to know how he can go forward into film.
And I think that sometimes this phrase is used, like if you start doing something new and you're kind of struggling, you can use it once you've gotten used to that thing and you're getting better at it. So, you know, you can use it in different ways. If you're having a hard time, you can say that you find your footing in something once you're better at
it. Very good point, Catherine. And so he surprised people with this new dramatic role. He could do drama, and he could do more than tap that distinctive funny bone. Now, a funny bone here is used as to mean humor or to mean something that is humorous, but we often say that, like you hit your funny bone, right?
That's right. The funny bone, it's near your elbow, and it often hurts very, very badly if you bump it.
Actually, one of your bones here is called the humerus. So that's the irony of it, that when you hit the humerus, it, you know, it is the funny bone.
But it doesn't make you laugh. It kind of hurts.
No, not funny when it happens.
Yeah, and the word distinctive here just means kind of specific. Like he tapped into that specific area that just made you laugh. Well, in the years after, Williams continued to surprise by doing what, Catherine?
It says that he was making a habit of leavening his comedies with drama. So when you use the word leaven here, that just means that he is sprinkling all his comedic roles with some drama. So he's not doing just comedies. He's also adding in some dramatic characters and roles.
Okay. Well, and we get an example here of a movie he was in where he was played as a Russian, right? And we see his Russian defector's last stand at Bloomingdale's. Bloomingdale's is a department store. What is this talking about, though? What is a defector?
Defector is when you leave one country and go to another, particularly because, like, at that time, Russia was more communist. So it's when somebody leaves a communist country because they actually aren't allowed to do that. They are held by the government, like the control is over the person or the citizens. And so the only way that they can leave a country is by escaping it. And so a person that does that is called a defector. And the verb is defecting.
Okay, and in this movie, Moscow on the Hudson, he actually plays the saxophone in a Russian circus. And then he is visiting New York City, and he really just falls in love with being in the U.S., and then he decides to go to Bloomingdale's, and he actually turns himself in to a security guard there. I was reading up on this on a website, and anyway, it sounds like a very interesting movie. I have never seen this. Catherine, have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I did watch the trailer in preparation for this article, and I have to say, it just looks like an adorable movie. Robin Williams, you know, he speaks in a Russian accent the entire movie, and, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how, you know, he comments on American culture at that time about how he's in America, but no one that he's with is actually from America. And so it really reflects on the whole, you know, melting pot culture of the United States at that time. So it's definitely one I want to check out after this.
Right. There's so many. As I read this, there's so many movies I haven't seen of Robin Williams. Now, we use the word here endearing, and so his character here is very endearing, Amanda.
Right. To endear something that is endearing means that you come to like it. Like you get attracted to it, and you start to feel, oh, some kind of feeling toward it.
Okay. Right. And then we learn about The Fisher King.
That's right. That was a movie that came out in 1991. And in this movie, he actually plays a homeless man. And he's kind of befriended by this former DJ. There's this whole storyline about how something bad happened and it was the radio DJ's fault. And Robin Williams gets mixed up in that. So they have to work together to solve these problems.
Okay, and the writer of this article says it's among his sweetest and saddest roles or movies.
Actually, I wanted to, when you asked earlier what a favorite movie was, it was hard for me to choose between Patch Adams and The Fisher King, because for me that was the first time I saw him in a dramatic role, and he did an amazing job. And he endeared himself to me in that role.
Right. Yeah. It's another one that I haven't seen. But I do like his more dramatic side, so I'll have to add that to the list as well. Well, next we see Williams' wise-cracking wake-up call for soldiers in Good Morning Vietnam. What do we mean by the word wise-cracking?
Well, when you use the word wise-cracking, you're just talking about something that is meant to be a joke. But it can also be a little bit critical. So, you know, this line actually that they're talking about for Good Morning Vietnam is a very, very famous line by him.
Okay, yeah, it is a famous line. And in this movie, it brought him his first Oscar nomination back in 1988. And, of course, the Oscars, you know, it's an award ceremony where actors can receive awards for the roles that they played in movies. And so he received his first Oscar nomination in 1988. And then we go on to see that a decade and two more nominations later, he won after two unknown writers, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, gave Williams the role of a lifetime. But in between there, we have some information about The Fisher King and the Dead Poets Society.
That's right. He received nominations for both of these movies, for The Fisher King and Dead Poets Society. And we will talk about the Dead Poets Society later, but I do just want to say this is absolutely my favorite movie of all time, and definitely my favorite Robin Williams role. It's an amazing film.
Okay, so he received nominations for The Fisher King and the Dead Poets Society, right? But he actually won for another movie, right?
That's right.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that movie more tomorrow. But just to explain that, a little bit of a complex sentence. Yeah.
I think it's interesting how the author has said two unknown writers, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, because we know who they are today. But at the time that they made this movie, they were unknown. You know, it was one of their first movies that they wrote together, and also one of the first movies they had an acting role in. But of course, now we know Ben Affleck is going to be the next Batman. And, you know, Matt Damon is known for the Bourne Identity and all those movies, but at the time that Robin Williams won this, nobody knew who they were.
I know, it's kind of their big breakthrough role, almost, in some ways, for all three of them. It really put them all on the board.
Yeah, I do have to say that Matt Damon is one of my favorite actors. I love the Bourne series, and so it's good to see, you know, him mentioned here alongside of Robin Williams. Well, as we end for today, I just want to take a quick look back at some of the words, or many words, in today's portion of the article. And I want to ask our panelists, what's a word that you want to leave our listeners with? Amanda?
Okay, I want to leave our listeners with the word warp speed. Because oftentimes when we're doing work, maybe we need to do it at warp speed. So maybe your boss will say, could you do that at warp speed? You know, or could you get, you know, move that a little faster? And you reply, oh, okay, I need to be at warp speed. I think it's something that we use fairly often when we're trying to do things in a hurry.
Okay, and Catherine.
Well, like you said, there were so many words in this day to day, but I really liked the word electrify. We said that Robin Williams electrified whatever entertainment that he touched. And, you know, just remember that whenever you electrify something, you just make it more exciting. You make it something that people want to see. So that was something that Robin Williams was really remembered for. He electrified every role that he was in, whether it was comedy or drama.
Okay. And I also like the phrase, had your back. He had your back. It's kind of an informal way of just saying that someone is going to support you. And I like the connotation there, because you use that with close friends. If you have someone's back, it means that you are there for them, that you are going to support them. And so that's something, a positive quality that we see in Robin Williams, and something that we can, take from his life and use it in our own lives, that we can be there for other people. Well, tomorrow, we are going to be back with our entertainment article, Remembering Robin Williams, and we hope that you will join us tomorrow for that portion of the article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Catherine,
and Amanda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.